Hi everyone, welcome to our daily devotionals. Today's passage comes from 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. Deacons, likewise, must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and let them also be tested first. Then let them serve as deacons, if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves, and also a great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. I hope to come to you soon, but I am writing these things to you, so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the households of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. Amen. So if you haven't had a chance to listen to yesterday's devotional on 1 Timothy chapter 2, I highly encourage you to listen to it. I think Kevinson did a great job, and I was just so blessed by his devotional yesterday. And like yesterday's chapter, it's easy for us to get lost in the details of chapter 3 and not see the big picture of what God is trying to say through Paul. Paul isn't just giving a checklist or a job description of these roles, but instead he's giving us a picture of the character of such people and how we can discern whether someone has the spiritual calling and potential to oversee and to serve with integrity and faithfulness. Paul begins by declaring the work of being an overseer as a noble work, as an honorable kind of work. An overseer is someone who cares for the church of God. In other places, overseers are also known as elders or shepherds or pastors. They are appointed by God to watch over his people in a spiritual capacity and to supervise the spiritual work of the church. Paul begins by saying that overseers must be above reproach. This doesn't mean that they're like high and lofty and separated from the church, but instead he's saying that since the work is spiritual, it's necessary for overseers to be spiritual. An overseer or a shepherd is to be a husband of one wife, meaning that he is a married man who has been faithful to his marriage vows. He has avoided inappropriate relationships with other women. And then in verse 2, we also see that he must be level-headed, sensible, free from excess, free from rashness, that he is alert and careful, orderly and well-mannered. He also says that they must be hospitable, which means that he loves and cares for people, even strangers. And he must also be a spiritual teacher. And then in verse 3, we see Paul declare that overseers shouldn't be drunk, but have sober judgment for spiritual leadership. He's not violent or aggressive. He's not argumentative, but gentle. He doesn't love money. Money isn't a concern for him, nor is it his life goal. And then in verse 4, we see that his leadership is observed in how he manages his house with dignity. The experience for the work of being a spiritual leader for the church is observed in his work with his home. The children aren't out of control, but listen to the father. And more than that, how he manages the home is not out of control, but honorable. And then in verse 6, we see that such leaders for the church should have walked with the Lord for some time, that they're not a recent convert, so that they aren't puffed up and become arrogant. And finally, outsiders should think well of him, which indicates that he's not a hypocrite, but lives his faith every day. Paul then goes on to describe the role of deacons in a similar way, and I won't go into these details here in this devotional, because Paul isn't sharing just the job description of a pastor or a deacon, but instead he fleshes out the character of one who should serve in this office. The list of qualities is not intended to be exhaustive, but pictures a person of mature Christian character, someone who upholds a high level of integrity, someone who is steadfast, faithful when it comes to his household, not consumed by anger, greed, or various addictions, one whose faith has a tangible impact on his behavior. And Paul wants to share with Timothy and the church of what kind of leaders should be appointed to be overseer and deacon to serve God's flock. At Symphony, the pastors are the overseers, and our hope is to have elders one day soon. And we do have a group of deacons who are committed to serving the Symphony Church family. And as overseers and deacons, we ought to be held to a much higher standard. Our character, and thus our behavior, must be above reproach. When we read this, we might subconsciously interpret this as if pastors and deacons must be perfect. But I want to just make one thing clear. There's a difference between perfection and godliness. Or at least there's a difference between worldly perfection and godliness. All overseers and deacons are not perfect. And we know this. We see this in the news. If you've grown up in the church, you probably have seen this. And you may even see it now in myself and the rest of the staff at Symphony. Perfection is not what Paul is aiming for here. Instead, he's pointing to godliness. And as one of your pastors, I hope to pursue godliness more and more and to become more like Christ, who is our good shepherd. Now, lastly, as you have been listening to this, you may have been thinking, how does this apply to me? I neither desire nor feel called to be an overseer or deacon. If that's you, that's totally fine. Not all are called to be overseers or deacons, but all of us are called to pursue after their character. Character precedes behavior, and God desires that we put on not a spiritual show, but to grow in godliness. And so how are you growing in godliness? How are you doing in terms of becoming more and more like Christ? Because the list of things that Paul shares in 1 Timothy 3 isn't exclusive to just those called to be an overseer or deacon, but it really applies to every follower of Christ. And so how are you growing in godliness? And perhaps as you pursue godliness, you'll find yourself one day led by the Spirit of God to be an overseer or deacon. And so I'm excited to see how each of us will grow in the faith and in godliness. And today I want to just first invite us to self-evaluate where we are in this pursuit of godliness. And then also, please pray for our pastors, our deacons. We have three elder candidates who are on this journey towards possibly becoming elders at our church. And so pray for the overseers and deacons in our church that we might continue to grow in godliness. And I hope that all of us, each and every person at Symphony Church, can continue to pursue these characteristics of what it means to be a godly man and woman in the faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today, and God, we thank you for Paul's instruction to Timothy and the church in Ephesus, the church in general, even today, of what overseers and deacons should look like, not just in their behavior, but more so by their character. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to really ask ourselves first how we are doing in our pursuit of godliness. And if there's any area in our life that is not aligned with your will and with your character of godliness, I pray that you would help us to be led by your Spirit towards you, towards godliness, and that we would choose Christ today. We also pray, Lord, for the pastors, pray for myself as well, and pray for all the deacons and the elder candidates, that you would continue to grow us to become more and more like Christ. Teach us, Lord, to shepherd and to serve your people in the likeness of Jesus. We pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen. Amen. Thanks for joining us for our devotional today, and I hope you are blessed. Let's continue to pursue godliness together. Have a great day.